Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And I'm very excited about having our good friend Diane DeRista back on the show. Diane is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the CEO of DeRista Communications. She's the author of Knockout Presentations, and I have the revised edition in front of me, and she is one of the top communication experts in our Brain Trust. Diane DeRista, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. Hey, Diane, one of the things that that I said earlier in the previous segment is that I've been told for many times over the years that the number one phobia in the world is not fear of flying, not fear of spiders, not fear of snakes, or fear of mother-in-laws. It's fear of public speaking, right?
That's true. Absolutely.
The fear of public speaking.
Yes, and I see it all the time, and my job and my mission is to eradicate that, because my philosophy is that gifted speakers are born, but effective speakers are made, and anybody can learn the skills.
So you're saying that the natural inclination to get up in front of a group and speak, which apparently I was born with, makes you have the arrogance to get up and speak, but it doesn't necessarily make you effective, right?
Yes, I mean, even Martin Luther King studied and honed his craft. But, you know, people think, oh, well, either you're born with it or you're not. No, I can tell you that you can become a very effective speaker once you know the skills. And what I do is, my approach is the science of speaking, what confidence looks like, sounds like, and how to speak the language of confidence. So we break it down step by step.
Before we can get people to actually get better at speaking in public, we have to get them to speak in public. Now, how do we get that started?
Well, the first thing is usually something triggers it. They're in a career, a job, and they have to speak, and because they're not, it's impacting their growth. So there's got to be a motivation.
Some kind of pressure, some kind of pain, force that thrusts them up on the stage.
Right. So that's the first step. I had one woman who was director level, and she said, I can't avoid this anymore because it's career suicide. And when people recognize that, that's usually the trigger that says, all right, I've got to do something about it.
You know, one of the best ways to become a public speaker is to take a job in sales, in outside sales.
Yeah.
If you sell outside, if you go out and knock on the door and say, hi, I'm Jim, how do you like me so far? If you start doing that for a living, you'll learn how to become a public speaker.
Sure, because I'm glad you said that, because I am redefining what public speaking is. People think it's standing up on a stage in front of 100 people. Public speaking is everyday communication. A voicemail is public speaking.
Wow. That's a good point, because you do, how many times have we left a voicemail and said, and hung up and said, wow, that was dumb?
Uh-huh. Or you have people say, oh, wow, even your voicemail sounds professional.
Oh, yeah.
And when people say that, you know you have a good one. So I'm telling people, you're already public speakers.
So folks, think about that. And so, but now we're talking about getting up in front of 20 people or 100 people or 10,000
right.
people. And that changes things a little, doesn't it?
Yes. Can I share what the crossover is?
Please.
When I ask people, most people are okay sitting, but as soon as they stand, that's the trigger. When you go from sitting to standing, that raises the fear quotient. And the other thing is the size. And I'll usually say, well, how big a group does it have to be before you start to feel really nervous? And generally, they'll say, like, over 10. Mm. So what we do is we start small. Start one-on-one. Start with a really small group. Just give meeting updates. Keep it really simple. And then when you go outside of your career or your job, start on a panel. Do a 5-minute panel presentation,
right,
and then work your way up. Don't jump into a large keynote as your first, you know, foray into speaking.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, exactly. And of course, if you're selling, You know, you may today you may be calling on one person at a time, but one of these days somebody's going to say, "Okay, would you bring your when you bring your proposal back? I want to do it in my conference room, and I want to bring in about six of my colleagues to listen to your presentation."
Right. And that's where people derail. And that's when we start to really work on the sales presentation. And, you know, one of the biggest mistakes is they talk all about them and their company. Mm-hmm. And that is not good public speaking. It's not good salesmanship.
Public speaking, giving a speech, is about selling, isn't it? There's got to be something in it for the audience. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
And as much as possible, everything should be about the audience.
And too many people are speaker-centered instead of listener-centered. And that's why we spend a lot of time really figuring out who's the audience, what's important to them, and what's the hook to grab them. And you know what the change is, you know, how the industry and the world has changed? It's now more about engagement, audience engagement. Mm-hmm. How do you engage them? How do you dialogue with them so that you're not just a talking head?
You know,
like what we're doing.
Diane, when I do a lot of public speaking, as you do, and in fact, I did something yesterday, and when I speak, as much as possible, I actually go out into the audience and speak.
Excellent.
It's a little bit. Sometimes it's a little unusual, but if I'm on a stage, I never ever stood behind a podium.
That's a great idea, because the only reason to have a podium is to read your notes when you have a formal manuscript. But too many times people use that as a default because it's
right.
a crutch. And get away from that. Get into the audience. Be real. Talk to them, because every audience is thinking three things. The first thing they're thinking is, who are you? Meaning, do I like you? Are you a person? Can I connect with you? Question two in their minds is, who are you to tell me? Meaning, what are your credentials and how have you earned the right to be here today?
Right.
And question three is, what's in it for me? WIIFM.
Mm-hmm.
What is the value and why should I stay and listen? And so when you plan your message, think of those three questions that every audience is thinking about.
And that second thing you mentioned about the credentials, this is where some people who are introducing a speaker let the speaker down if they don't do a good job. Not they don't have to go on and on, but making sure the audience knows why this person has been invited. That whoever introduces a speaker could help them out in that way. What do you think?
Yes. Can I give you a tip so that
very quickly,
that never happens to
very
you?
Very quickly.
Write your own introduction and give it to the introducer.
Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent point. Folks, there's a problem in America. We're not training our children to be public speakers. And Diane DeRista has got some ideas on how to do that, and she's actually working on this. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. Her book is called Knockout Presentations by Diane DeRista. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.